Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Wichita. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, first of all, let's just open up in prayer here, and then we'll be going into 1 John here. Father God, we just want to thank you. Thank you and praise you, Lord, for you are the only one who's worthy of any praise, Lord. And Father, it's only that praise that we can give you due to the love that you pour out upon us first, Lord. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. We just ask that today, Lord, you'd be here with us, that you would share your heart with us, Lord. Lord, we pray that we would see your face and your word today, Lord. We would know your will, Lord. That, Father, we would be those children of yours that would be loving as you are, Lord, that we would be those who would share you with those who are lost, Lord, with those who have our brethren, Lord, who may even just be hurting, Father. Lord, we just ask for your guidance. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us today and just guide us and direct us through your word. Comfort us, Lord, in those times that we are struggling, Lord. Be with us in those times that we are joyful, Lord, and may we be those people that would lift all of that up to you as praise, Lord. Thank you. Thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to try to finish up 1 John. I don't know. It went a lot longer last week than I thought, but we're in 1 John chapter 2. We're going to start verse 28. So I don't know if we'll really get completed, but we'll sure try. And as we know here, 1 John has been warning the people. He's been warning us. I mean, this word is not just a word for, like I said last week, 2,000 years ago. It's a living word. It's God's word. So he's carrying us through this. And John is warning the people of false teachings, having them to understand that they have been given the truth and test out that. We'll see here as we get going in here a little further, you'll hear the words, test the spirit. Let's really test out those teachings. Let's make sure that it is God's teaching, that it's God that is the one that they're dealing with. He'll even tell us how we go about that, of testing that out and proving it. It's not testing the Holy Spirit. No, that's not what he's doing. He's not wanting to tell us that. That's not what he's saying. He's saying we need to check out the teachings and make sure that it is of God. What are they doing with Jesus Christ? That's what we want to do. That's what we want to check about ourselves even. Are we following the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we teaching him? Are we praising him? Is that, and I say teaching him, teaching his ways, what he's about. Not that we're going to teach the Lord anything. Oh, please don't take that away. That's not what I'm meaning. I guess I want to straighten up one thing. Last week I had said I was talking about Eve in the garden, about desiring that fruit that was forbidden, and I made a statement that God told them not to even touch it. He didn't tell them not to touch it. He told them not to eat it. That was the deception of the Satan to Eve, to trick her into, well, you know, it was okay to touch it, those kind of things. And doesn't Satan do that with us? He uses just a little twisting of the words. So I want to correct what I said last week. It could have been misleading. So again, and I praise the gentleman who brought it to my attention. He says, hey, you know, you just told us, check it out. I'm glad he did. That's what I want everybody to do whenever we're going through the word. Let's not take somebody who's setting up here for that's it. That's what John is telling us here. Check it out. Check it against God's word, what he says. And make sure that we're not being led astray by a bunch of false teachings. But anyway, that's what John is doing here. He is writing to this group of people here in this first epistle of his and letting them know he's doing some pastoral work here, right along with telling the body how to check this out, how to make sure it's God. Also, he's telling us how to fellowship with one another, fellowship with the Lord, and so that we will know that we are following him. So anyway, we'll just start here let's go back to 26 real quick. It says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. It says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is truth and is not a lie. And just as it was taught you, you will abide in him. So again, we want to go back to God's word. Let us know. I mean, you guys really don't need anybody to teach you. Jesus is going to do that. But it's this coming together like we do, going through his word, that gets us strengthened. And with everything that we have been going through, you know, Jim mentioned we're going to be having an interim pastor come out. This body has been a strengthening by coming together and clinging to God's word, not to each other. That's the thing that is so awesome here. It hasn't been that everybody's just been hanging on to one another and strengthening them and feeling sorry for them or encouraging them. It's that they've been clinging to the Lord and doing that, sharing the Lord with one another and keep each other built up. That's what is really so awesome about the body here. So that's what John is even saying here. You guys know the truth. He just wants to reiterate the things we need to go back, keep on our hearts, keep looking to. And in 28, now what we're going to see here in this, you know, I was breaking this down, this is going to be the righteous living and abiding in God. We're going to see that in chapter 2, 28 through chapter 3, verse 3. So I'll just kind of read through that real quick, and then we'll kind of go back and hit through it a little. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence of not being ashamed before him at his coming." It says, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For he shall see, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has his hope, or this hope in him, purifies himself just as he is pure." And you know, going through these words, it is an encouragement. In chapter 3 there, verse 1, where it talks about the manner of love the Father bestows upon us. I mean, it is hard for me to even understand, but I am so blessed, as we all are, of how God has poured out his love upon us. He came here, manifested as man, and still fully God. And he went to that cross and died for us. I mean, there isn't any other love that could be poured out for us. And it's not something that he gives and takes back. He's given it for us to take, to receive. I say take it, but it's to receive it. It's a free gift. I mean, it is an awesome love to know that your Creator has died upon a wooden cross that man had made. He had died for us, for our sins. Now, I don't want to stop there. He even rose. He conquered that death. So that's what he's done for us. That's the kind of love he has for us. So in that, when we give ourselves to him, and he's in us now, we should have that same love for him, for one another. We should be at that point where we would love them to a point of even our own death. Now, that sometimes is kind of hard to say, oh, we'll do that. But when we see someone who is lost in the world, it aches us as believers to know where they're at. And when we share with them and then they refuse it, I mean, that is something we should still be trying to die to ourselves, to be able to give them that opportunity to see what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. So we need to be in that condition of loving them as the Father has loved us. And that's what John is going through here. He is letting us know that how we're going to really know if we're of the Father is our love, because of what he's poured out upon us. And if we can't love like he is, we need to be re-examining our hearts. Now, guys, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. We already know that. We're still going to have those struggles, but what are we doing with it? Are we still trying to go and love those? And it will be easier as we've given ourselves to the Lord to love. I know when I was in the world, loving was not something I did very well, unless it was immediate family or somebody like that. But to reach out to others, I was pretty quiet. I didn't even want to talk to anyone. I was afraid they might get to know me and know what I really was like. And then if I did, then I would really know how bad I was. But we just need to love one another, reach out. And just a lot of times, as we see even now, just that warm handshake, that concern. God has that concern for us daily. Where are you at, my children? What's going on? He already knows. He's just trying to bring us along to that point. So that righteous living and abiding in God, how do you do that? I mean, how are we actually going to apply that to our lives daily? As we go through 1 John here, love is over and over and over. How we're going to be able to do that is to love one another. As loving each other as brothers and sisters here, that should be pretty easy, really. It should be. Now, again, we're in this flesh that we end up all having our own desires and our own ways. We got to make sure we give that back to God and make sure that it's not that we are presenting his way and not our way. And that's how we would love one another. That's how we'd stay abiding in him. He's given us commandments to do. And as we've seen as we go through here, his biggest commandment is to love. And I know a lot of times we go, well, okay, I can love this person over here. They're pretty easy to love. They're easy to talk to, but the one who's always grumpy, the one who doesn't really want to say anything back, or the one that wants to say too much back. You know, a lot of times I've had that happen to me. They want to tell you exactly what they thought. Oh, I have a hard time with that. But we need to love them. God loves them. And just follow his commandments of being that loving child of his. And that's where we were seeing here. It says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. And this righteousness is that loving. It's also doing, and I hate to say doing, because we're all just going to try, in all reality, to do those commandments we've been given. We're all going to fall short. We were discussing that even this morning. Even if we only tried to do the 10 that has been written down, that was given to Moses, if we just try to do those 10, I know myself, it don't take long, I can pretty well fail pretty fast. But in God's love that he has for me, for us, whenever we fail, being we know that he's in us, we're going to want to give that back to him and say, oh, Lord, forgive me for that. Help me through that. I don't want to be that one that misses that commandment of yours, that misses your heart, your desire. So in doing these things, we can see and know that righteousness is in us by practicing his commandments, by practicing his basically number one, we even sang about that love. Let's love as he has loved. Now in verse 3, it says, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is purified. When we have God in us, he has done the purifying. You know, it's the only thing we had done in any of that was just saying, take me. I'm a mess. And I'm going to mess it up daily. That's the thing. If we understand that and know where we're at and just keep giving it back to the Lord, oh, he is going to purify us. He already has as soon as he died on that cross for us. He said then that it was done. All the work was basically done. He loved us so much, we didn't have to do anything. In all reality, I know that I deserve to be the one beat, whipped, all of those kind of things. Not him. But with the love he had, he took all of that upon himself so I didn't have to go through it. He gave me the easy way. And that is just say, take me, I'm yours. I believe in you. I believe that you are that incarnate God who's come here as man, born of a virgin, rose again for my sake, for all of our sakes, for mankind's sake. And that's the thing. It's not just for one. He's done it for all. So he's given it this chance to everybody. We just need to be those who will be loving as he is. Can we always do it? I'm going to say for myself, no, I can't always do it. I have a very hard time with that sometimes. But again, he's given us that way to get around that. And I don't want to use get around anything. To work through it is to ask for forgiveness and allow him to carry us through that. And in verse 4, when we go through this part of it, excuse me, there's two classes of people, righteous and wicked. So as we go through this, we're going to see where we're at, how we should be, what God wants for us in this. And we'll see that going through verse 4 through 9 of chapter 3. It says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he has manifested to break away, to take away your sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has never seen him nor know him. Little children, let no one deceive you. It says, he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, when we read this, and I know when I did, I'm going, okay. It says that whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and that God can't be in it. So am I really saved is what I was thinking. I'm going, no, that isn't what it's saying here. It's really talking about those who are in that habitual sin, the one that is continually against the Lord. That is the type of sin he's talking here. That's what lawlessness is that completely being against it at all times. It's not where we fall short because we sinned. And there is unintentional sins. We know that. We unintentionally do it. We let our anger sometimes get us. That gets us in trouble sometimes. We sin. That isn't what he's talking about here. He's talking about the ones that have set it upon their heart, their goal of being against God, basically. That's what it is. They're not against us anytime anything's done to us by someone else. They're actually against God. But I know when I first read that, I thought, oh, I sin daily. I just admitted to you guys all I have a hard time. So does that mean that I'm not in him? That's not what it's saying. It's talking about that habitual sin, that one where they strive to be that way against God, really. And he tells us that he who sins is not of the devil, or is of the devil, I'm sorry. And again, that's that sin that is a decision to constantly go against what God's commandments are. What God's desire is to love one another, for us to love him. That's what he's talking about here. Against God. So, and we know that Satan's against God. He wanted it his way. So I wanted to assure you that when we sin, that doesn't mean that you don't have God in you. That means that you're just like all the rest of us. We're still sinners that have given our life over to God. We're in this flesh that keeps wanting to be fed. And the bad thing about it is we keep wanting to sometimes go back to that old way. And at the time, we don't expect to go back to that old way. That's the thing that really gets you. You want to do the right thing. I know I do. I'm wanting to do the right thing, and it never fails. When I think I'm doing the right thing, all of a sudden I went to doing the wrong thing against God. But what did I do with it? Did I just stay in it and relax in it and just keep doing that? No, we want to go back and ask for forgiveness, and God, in his mercy and grace, will do that. He knows our heart. He knows how wicked it is. He knows how difficult it's going to be. That was the reason why he came to this earth and died on that cross, was to give us no excuses in all reality. To show to us, here's the path. Here's what we need to walk. Here's how we need to do it. And to be able to have his word given to everybody. So there would be no excuse of saying, well, I didn't know. Well, you're God. You can do all of those things. There's no way I can do them. That's right. I can't. But being he's in us now, we can. And again, we're going through a perfection. We're going through that time of growth to be able to carry us through and teach us. So when we do see the Lord face to face, we'll be in that perfect place. We will be completely removed of this flesh that draws us back. So I just want to let you know when I was reading that, because I know when I first was reading through it, I'm going, man, I hope nobody gets the thought that when they sin, they're automatically, they don't have God in them. That's not true. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you are doing everything you can to follow him, and I don't mean write down the commandments and go perfectly by them, are you loving as God loves to others? That's, as we see through John, it's loving, it's love, it's love. Every place we've read through here, he's talking about love. Is it that agape love that we have for others above ourselves? That proves to us we have God in us. Because I know when I was in the world, you guys probably think the same way. There was no way I could really just love my neighbor over here who mowed his grass and it blew it all in my yard, or he was had some sticks, instead of picking them up, he kicked them over in my yard. I couldn't love that guy. I was irritated with him when he did that. Well, after I became saved, I didn't think about it that way. You know what? That's good mulch. That makes my grass grow better. The sticks were out of my tree anyway, so what did it matter? But it was a different Raymond that was changed then when I asked for God. And I know you all have that same feeling whenever you had come to that point. So, we need to love. And in verse 10, this part of it here, it's two families. The children of God versus the children of devil. We'll see that in verses 10 through 15. So, we've already looked at the righteous and the wicked. And like I say, we're talking about there's basically two different kinds of people. We were all the wicked ones at one time. Are we going to try to allow God to change them by using us? Anyway, we're going to look at the children of God versus the children of the devil in verses 10 through 15. It says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Now remember, he's using brother here because he's talking about us as being saved children of God. It says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. It says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. It says, he does not love his brother abides in death. So God's word's telling us that we need to love our brother. And if we don't, we are in death. We abide in Satan, if we want to look at it that way. That's exactly where we're at. It says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So God tells us here that, and John's in his writing here, if we practice righteousness, that we'll know that we're in, have God in us. And in that practicing righteousness, I mean, I've already spoken on it. I mean, we know that we're going to fail in those things. We definitely are. But what does it do to us? Do we just say, okay, I just blew it this time, just went on, drive on, do something else? Or, well, that person really deserved that. I really wasn't that bad at what I did. That way we're even proving ourselves out, or God's proving ourselves out to us. Are we having that loving heart? Love proves everything to us of where we're at. Are we going to mess up? Sure. Are we going to get irritated with the neighbor even though he still blows his grass clippings in the yard and does those things? We may, but are we going to ask the Lord to take that from us? Forgive us so that we can love that neighbor? So we can love our brethren who are already in Jesus Christ. But if we see a brother that we think's a brother, tells us he is, and he's actually not loving others around him, the other brothers and sisters around him, God says he's not of me. He's still in that eternal death, if you really want to look at it that way. Which, that's the way God looks at it. So we really need to. What do we need to do? We need to share the Lord Jesus Christ with him. Make sure he understands. And allow him to ask for that forgiveness and receive it, truly receive it. And in verse 16, this is The outworking of love is what we're talking about here, and it's also love and obedience. When we do love, I mean, that is being obedient. And that's part of our righteousness, too. How are we trying to be obedient to the Lord? So we want to be in that area. And it says an indicator of belonging to Christ is what this love and obedience is. That indicates to us that we do belong. That indicates to others that we belong. See, that's just it. We're not always trying to indicate to ourselves. Those who are not of the Lord will see that. They may not think to themselves like, that person really is different. He must be of the Lord. But God will use that to draw them closer to him to be able to work on their heart to change them. So we're being obedient and loving to the Lord by loving others when we do that. So in verses 16 through 23 is where we're going to be looking at that. And it's the outward working of love. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Now, this world's goods, I mean, these are basically possessions, things that are needed to survive, clothing, food, shelter. That's basically what he's talking about here, about the world's goods. I mean, we all have those things, but if we have a brother who doesn't, and we're able to provide, and we're just saying, well, I'll pray for you, God's saying, how am I abiding in you when you're doing those things? That's what it is, but it's an outward work to show us that true love of our hearts. And in 18 it says, my little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. I mean, I know that a lot of us, we use the word love. We've heard those, oh, I really love that. I love the fact that you said hello to me or whatever. I love you, I'll pray for you. If that's all we're doing is saying I love you and we never even think about him again, that's just using words in the tongue. That's all that is. That's not sharing God with them. So when we say those things, let's truly share the Lord. Let's follow through. Let's pray. Let's go that extra mile, and let's, if they have a need, let's help fulfill that need. We may not be able to do it, but maybe we know someone else who can help do that. Let's get it going and show God's love. Let's be that one who picks up that one who was alongside the road and beaten, battered, and didn't have a place to stay, and take him in, help him get healed, give him what is needed to get him back along, not just along his way, how about along God's way? Let's get him back into that. Maybe he didn't know the Lord, but in showing that mercy and that love and kindness as God has showed us, I believe God will be working on him to draw him to him. And then again, if he is a brother, this would strengthen him in knowing his faith in the Lord, that God is here working in all of us that believe in him. In 18 it says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. And this is basically the sin thing that we still fall back into. Sometimes we, oh no, I really can't do that. So we draw back and we fail to help that brother. But in this, God's in us. So are we going to ask for that forgiveness and step out the next time? If we can't help that brother, can we step out and help? That's basically what it's talking about here. Our heart's going to condemn us. And God's greater than our heart. He has already done. Look what he's done in our lives now. We're all wanting to come together, go through God's word with somebody who stammers and stutters through it, and love the Lord. That's what's really cool about it. Because God is greater than our hearts. He will even mend those things. He'll forgive us of those things when we fall short of that, not doing his will. Sinning, missing that mark. In 21 it says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do things that are pleasing in his sight. So we have that confidence in the Lord when our heart's not condemning, we're not drawing back, basically. And in these things, when we ask for them in God's will, he's going to be giving them to us. We'll receive whatever we ask as long as it's in him. And it says, 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we kept his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now remember, too, John's also letting them know about false teachers. He's bringing up that in all this, we're going to love in his Son's name, Jesus Christ. Part of this is he was teaching to a group, letting, because there was some different religions at that time that didn't believe that Jesus Christ was actually God. They thought he was two separate beings here. But that's what John's letting them know here, that no, this is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. There's no separation of Christ being the Spirit and Jesus being the man. That wasn't what they were doing. It wasn't what he was teaching. And he's letting them know that. But as long as we are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were going to be following his commandments. Excuse me. And in 24, now we're going to go through the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, which I think we know what the spirit of truth is. It's of Jesus Christ. The spirit of error, it always comes from Satan. He's the one who's trying to deceive us and trick us. It's an orthodox confession and indicator of belonging to Christ. And that's what John's trying to remind. Remember, he's reminding these people where they're at. Keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ so that you don't get drawn into worldly religions. He's reminding us the same thing. Let's stay in this. These are things to let us know that, hey, we're in the right place. We're doing the right thing. And in 24 through, verse 24 through chapter 4, verse 6 is where we're going to be going through on this as indicators of belonging to Christ. I jumped too far. Oh, I guess I just turned a page and lost myself. Okay, verse 24. It says, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him. He who keeps God's commandments abides in Jesus Christ. And he in him. That means Jesus is in us when we abide in that. It says, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So God is, or Lord Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit. And this is how we know that he's in us. And in verse 4, chapter 1, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So here he's talking about, he uses the word spirits, but the reason why he's using the word spirits, earlier as we went through the first part of 1 John here, we've seen that they were called Antichrist, these false teachers, because they're teaching against God. So that's why he's using the word spirits. It's not the actual spiritual realm that he's talking about here. He's talking about false teachers here on the earth that are teaching against God. So he's telling them it's fine to test this out. Prove it out. Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe every teacher. But test the spirit. Test that teacher. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. So in testing this, you'll be able to know. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. That's how we will know whether they're false teachers or not. Are they that false spirit? What do they do and say about Jesus Christ? We know that some believe that he's just a good man. He was a good prophet. Didn't truly believe that he was the Son of God and was born of flesh and walked the earth here and then had died for us and rose again. That's what, if they don't believe that way, they're not of God. That's what he's saying. It's pretty plain. It says, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So, again, there's those different teachings out there that just believe in Jesus Christ as just a spirit, not of the flesh. It just seemed like he was in the flesh. It says, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. 2,000 years ago, he was already here. Actually, longer than that. He's been here since Adam and Eve, since he was in the garden. But you know it by these things right here. How do they deal with Jesus Christ? Do they believe just as he had went through here? Every spirit confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That's one of them. It says, by this you know that Spirit of God, every spirit confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and that every spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. So that's pretty point blank how to be able to prove it out. So as you're talking to someone that calls themselves your brother, that's one way to find out, what about Jesus Christ? How do you believe in him? What is he to you? And that's not to condemn him and beat him down and all that. Maybe they've just been deceived. We all have been there. But if we don't know where they're coming from, we could be sucked into that trap. And then in that, we never share how we believe in Jesus Christ with them, so we can't show the true word to them. Being that lover as God, that's what it is. Let's share them. Okay, you've missed the mark. God's word says so. Like, here, this is why. And he tells me and you as believers, we're supposed to love them. That's what will prove to us that we are of him. So not that we're just supposed to, we will. That'll be our desire. And in verse 4 here, chapter 4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You have already overcome those false teachers just because of this. You ask for God to come into your heart. You have that desire to keep seeking his face and his desires, his love and mercy. It's how you know. And then 5, it says, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. And the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now the us here that they're talking about this time is the apostles, because they were the ones going around talking and sharing with the other brothers and sisters. Nowadays it's you when you go out. Are they hearing you? This is another way of proving out where they're at. Are they of the spirit of truth or the spirit of error? I don't think we're going to get finished. Okay, we're going to go on through. Next part here is knowing God through love. And this is verse 7. Excuse me. And this part of it here is love an indicator of a relationship with God. And we'll see that in chapter 4, verse 7 through 16. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So yeah, we may say we love, but do we love as God does? That's what He's saying here. And guys, we couldn't love really before. We may have thought we loved, but did we put others ahead of ourselves? God loved us first, and how He did that? Sent His Son here to die for our sins. So in this knowing God through love, we know Him through His love. It's not really our love. I mean, He was the one who loved us, like I said, first. His Word says that. And in that He changed us, then we were able to love Him and love others. And we'll show that by loving others just like He did. Whatever suffering I may go through for my brother, let's do it. That's what it basically is about. I think we'll go ahead and stop there. We won't get to finish, but maybe next time. But let's just keep these words upon our heart. These are words that John has written down to a body of believers back in this age when he was writing. But it's also written to us today. And in here, the word love is used so many times. But it's a special word. It's an agape love. It's not just, oh, we love our dog, or we love to cut the grass, or those kind of things. This is a love of what Jesus has done in our life and what we want to give back to Him. And He's also giving us instructions here to check out those who come to us and say, "I love you, you're my brother, you're my sister." Are they? I'm not saying you got to go and put that magnifier on everybody. But you need to know if someone's trying to deceive you and trick you. God wants you to know that. And the easy way of proving is, how do they love? Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, please contact us at area code 316-263-3804 or check us out on the web at www.calvarychapelwichita.org.